So this morning, I'm going to talk about priest ordination. So I've been thinking for some time that it would be good to talk about this topic and maybe clarify some things and give you a chance to ask questions and outline what this means, what it is and what it isn't, and in particular what Tokudo novice priest ordination means. We live in a time of great fluidity and variety in the Soto Zen world, and it can be confusing. As you look around and you see different things and you wonder, and I think this is especially true because priest has meanings in the Christian world that it doesn't in Soto Zen. In a way, priest is a pretty poor translation, especially for Tokudo, this first ordination. In the Christian world, in some aspects of Christianity, especially the Catholic world, priest puts a person in an elevated and special, as I understand it, special intermediary role with God. So they're kind of ordinary people, and then there's the priest that kind of gets to talk to God directly some way, right? I think so. Don't they have a special, like they get to, you go and you confess to them, and they tell you it's okay or it's not okay? Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Anyway, this is my understanding. And so... In a sense, minister is a better term, and that's many Japanese priests use the term minister, which has more equal sense. Rabbi also has an equal sense, even though they're considered teacher and leader. So what I want to emphasize with this is that receiving ordination in the Soto Zen tradition, I'm going to say this a number of times, does not grant elevated status. Even though, like a minister, they have a special relationship with the tradition, responsibility to the tradition. So a specific relationship, and are trained to perform in certain functions, certain ways to support the tradition and the Sangha. Again, it may be more similar to a priest in Anglican tradition, perhaps, where there's not so much this special relationship, but they also have a ritual function. I'm no expert in these matters, so please forgive me if I'm getting it wrong. In any case, it can be confusing. So what I want to do is I want to do my best to help clarify things. So I'll say a few words about context, and then I'm going to review a document that I wrote with Shinshu describing the discernment process, the training, and the role of a person with Tokudo ordination. Okay? Are you guys on board with this morning? Okay. So first thing first is a few things about the relationship of lay practice and ordained practice. And again, the most important thing to know is that ordination has nothing to do with level of realization. Are we clear on that? Okay. It is true that a person who wants to be ordained should be stable, dedicated, and at home in the Soto Zen tradition. But full and complete realization is completely open to both lay and ordained people, as is leadership. So we can see that in our own Sangha and in other Sanghas. There is no ranking of priest over lay. None. What is differentiated is the relationship to the tradition. The priest takes a direct and personal responsibility for carrying on and sustaining the Soto Zen tradition. As a novice priest, this means being responsible for being trained and supporting the temple and the practice. If a priest has received Dharma transmission, and I'll talk about, well, maybe I'll stop right now and say, there are three general stages. Tokudo, which is novice priest ordination. Shuso, which is where a person starts to take on some training in teaching responsibilities. In monastic training, it's a specific 3-month period where you take out the garbage, clean the bathrooms, start to give Dharma talks, and start to have tea with people to discuss the practice. Not formal doksan, but tea. And then finally, if things flow together in a way that seems to point in this direction, a person receives a Dharma transmission, which is full ordination. And that means you wear a brown robe and you're basically safe to go out and play on your own. Your teacher says, right, you're good to go. You can teach, you can take on students, you can ordain other people, that kind of thing. So the novice priest steps into the tradition in a certain way. The tradition becomes the center of one's life. Whereas a lay person expresses that tradition in a myriad different ways. Wonderful different ways, as we can see in our sangha. Full realization can and does occur in any case. It's a matter of which path is life-giving to you. I hope here at Ocean Gate you received that message loud and clear, and you see it in one another. What is most important in discerning our path is that we listen to our own hearts, we listen to the world, and we find what brings gladness, what eases suffering, what expresses who we are fully. That's what the world needs. So, a few more words about ordination. First, there are different levels, as I said, or stages of ordination. And there is no guarantee that one will proceed from one to another. One takes up the path of a priest because one loves it, not to get someplace. So the first ordination, as I said, is Tokudo, novice ordination. Many people in this country think of this as full ordination. It is not. It is fully its own thing, and it's a major step, but it's stepping into the path of training. It confers no special status, certainly no statement about a person's supposed spiritual powers. It does reflect that the person who receives Tokudo ordination is reasonably sane and dedicated to this path, to undergo training and all that's involved in it. One kind of way to think of a Tokudo is like a seminary student, so somebody who's dedicated to learning and training in the tradition, but not fully endorsed or empowered to represent or lead it. So Tokudo is an entering. It's taking the first step. It's, you know, dedicating oneself. So there are requirements to training, just like a nurse or a chef or a master carpenter or a musician. Training is necessary to fulfill the role. And it's being shaped. It's a formation process of being shaped into the person who can fulfill it, to carry on this tradition and to support people in the practice. If you want to be a priest, you want to do this training. You're curious and eager about it. It is challenging, but it's a door opening to a path that you want to follow. There are elements that are essential, but there are sometimes, often, needs to be flexibility in how they're fulfilled. At the discretion of the teacher, there can be exceptions because of physical limitations or other factors. This is totally up to the teacher. In our tradition, the teacher makes the decisions in consultation, usually with peers, and deep reflection in relationship to the tradition. So there's a document, as I said, that I wrote in conjunction with Shinshu, and also after listening to deeply to what some of our dear friends and fellow Dharma teachers are doing. We talk about this a lot at meetings and various things. What are you doing and how are you doing it? And how are you, what do you think is important? So this document is based on a wide view and deeply connected to the tradition we receive. One thing I've noticed in talking to some people about ordination is there seems to be this fascination with what San Francisco Zen Center does. That is a worthy organization where Shinshu and I both spent many years training. But our experience is far wider than San Francisco Zen Center. And it's not bound by what happens there in any way. It is our commitment to the Soto Zen tradition that guides our understanding. The process of discernment, novice priest training, and the nature and expression of ordained practice our experience is in connection with people all over the country and in the mainland and in Hawaii and in Japan, and also in my role as a professor at a Buddhist graduate school and seminary, I've seen the training of Buddhists in other traditions besides Soto Zen as well. Questions so far? I'll go on and talk about the document. Okay? So, this is the document that we put together. The first part is discernment for ordination as a Soto Zen priest. Discerning whether being a Soto Zen priest is the path you want to follow in this life is a process that requires careful personal reflection, honesty, dialogue with your teacher, and anyone in your life that will be impacted by your training and ordination. It must be grounded in the knowledge and the deep practice, and living the Bodhisattva vow is fully and completely done in many ways. So that's the starting point. You know, this is an open door for everyone in terms of full realization of the Dharma. Starting with that as a basis, here are some guidelines for the process. First, pay attention to the practice of a priest. Is this something that draws you? Do you feel an affinity for it? I am not talking about wanting a position or other marker of status, nor am I talking about a vehicle for furthering your own aims, to be taken seriously by others in the world, or to create greater opportunities to be seen and served. These aims are not bad, and if you're honest with yourself, you'll likely see that you have this desire. I know for myself, when I wanted to be ordained, I looked at the robes, I thought, they're so beautiful, it would be so great to wear those robes. And then I felt really bad, like, oh, I shouldn't have that thought. But of course I had that thought. They're beautiful, but is that really the reason that I want to do this? For one thing, no, and for second thing, I never would have gotten through the training based on that as a motivation. So these aims are not bad and may be a part of your motivation if you're honest, but they will not see you through. What will is knowing that you are drawn to living your life dedicated to embodying the Soto Zen way as an ordained person in the tradition, and the desire to train in that. Talk with your teacher about your desire to ordain, what is required in the formation process training, and the logic and motivation behind it. As you talk, get specific in the context of your circumstances. Talk about the fact that this is a specific relationship with the tradition of Soto Zen, not simply Buddhism or a practice. Understand that the nature of a student-teacher relationship is that it is both horizontal. Sojourn Roshi likes to talk about this a lot. Horizontal. We are all human beings doing the practice together. All of us. Equal. And it's vertical. The teacher is the teacher and the student is the student. And then I wrote more on that below. Know that your teacher knows what it is to practice as a priest, and you do not. How could you? You are not a priest. You can look around, talk to priests, imagine, and have some good ideas, but you cannot know the path of a priest until you have walked it. Do take the time to talk to other priests you know and respect, especially those that are in training. I may ask you to do this. Understand that you are asking permission to enter formation training to be a Soto Zen priest, and that you are asking a transmitted teacher to take on the work as well as the fulfillment and pleasure of training you. This is a big ask. So an awareness of what you are asking for and being prepared to make a full commitment is the appropriate response. There should be time on both sides to consider if this is the right path for you, and if the teacher has the time and willingness to take on this responsibility. Know that each novice priest formation training may look somewhat different depending on their circumstances, but the essential elements settled on by the teacher in dialogue with the tradition are the same. Also know that requirements in different or even the same lineages can differ. What another teacher does is not relevant. You are ordaining in a tradition, yes, but with a specific teacher. Understand the stages of being a priest, novice, shuso, full dharma transmission. Shuke Tokudo starts the training as a novice priest. Typically, this training takes 5 years. It includes key elements of service in the temple, working with your teacher, study, becoming fully able to do the service positions and rituals of Soto Zen, as well as formal practices such as Orioki, and also monastic training or intensives. Also understand that there is no guarantee or specified timeline to move from one stage of being a priest to another. Your intention should be to be a good priest who serves others and the Dharma as a priest. Train to be a priest, and what comes of that will come. And know that priest, especially novice priest, does not mean teacher. Take the time for a clear-eyed, honest look at your life. Think carefully about your priorities as well as your needs. Is training as a priest one of them? If so, where does it rank? Is it wedged into an already full life, or is it central? Being central does not mean you skip your other commitments or core needs, like the need to make a living. It means it is central. If you are married or partnered, your spouse partner needs to be on board with the training requirements. It absolutely will not work if they are not, and there is no question of abandoning one's marriage or relationship commitment. If there are children, that is another important consideration. These kinds of things must be taken into account along with an understanding of how to care for yourself sensibly. Then ask yourself, are you willing to take a risk in this venture? Are you willing to enter into a close relationship with your teacher? Are you willing to listen and consider what they say and follow their guidance? Do you trust that they are dedicated to your growth as a practitioner and a priest? They will support you and they will challenge you. There will be rubs and goodness. Is that what you want? You have to be willing to be appropriately challenged and stretched, as well as supported and encouraged. Can you be deeply honest with them and yourself? Again, reflect on your desire to ordain. Do you want to make the training required in the life of a priest central? Important. This is in big letters. Don't set up fixed ideas of your own about any of this. Don't fall into the idea that you're either somehow a shoo-in or you are barred because of some perceived limitation. We are all humans, imperfect beings, no better, no worse than others. It is only that we find ourselves dedicated to the Dharma and all beings in this particular way. Ground rules of a teacher-student relationship in priest formation training. Is this helpful to you guys? Yeah. Maybe not, but I want you to know it. Okay. So, number one, always listen fully to your teacher, even if you disagree. Unless it will harm you or someone else or violate your moral basis, do what they ask. See what happens. If you genuinely feel that what they ask is too much for you, say so. If there is some concrete reason you think what they ask really will not work, say so. Viable and effective priest training stays true to the lineage and what we have received, and includes fully considering creativity and flexibility that furthers its fundamental aims. But know that you are entering a different kind of relationship with your teacher, who is your guide in this matter. The teacher has a primary relationship to the Soto Zen tradition and an obligation to continue it for the benefit of all beings. Their sense of what is in deepest alignment with the tradition guides all that they do. It is important to remember this, particularly if difficulty arises. Being deeply grounded and committed to the tradition is what allows and supports the teacher's creativity and flexibility and aliveness. So seek to be as grounded as in the tradition as they are. The teacher is there to challenge as well as support you. Their dedication is to the tradition and to your realization of the Soto Zen way through the path of being a priest. Humaneness and mutual respect is fundamental, but if the teacher is tamed and constrained by what Ajahn Linda Ruth Kutz calls the tyranny of niceness, the vitality of the relationship is lost and the teacher cannot serve you or the Dharma fully. If you have questions about your training, ask them. You should understand the basic aim, but you may not understand each particular. The response you receive to your questions may or may not accord with what you want or think you need. So speak up and listen deeply to your teacher. Return to point number one of love. Listen fully to your teacher. Taking on the path of training as a priest means that you're taking on increased responsibility to the community and to your teacher. You do not have the same autonomy as a lay member. Talk with your teacher about any plans you want to make to be away from the temple. Before ordination, you should have a solid understanding of what is expected of you. If you are confused about that, talk to your teacher. You keep getting this? Yeah. Being accountable to your teacher is an essential element of training. The teacher is not perfect or omniscient. Errors, miscommunications, and some measure of difficulty is inevitable. How you handle it is a measure of your maturity as a person and a priest. The same is true for your teacher. Always act with respect towards your teacher. You can bring forth your thoughts, feelings, disagreements with vigor, but the teacher is a teacher. Take every opportunity to learn and grow as a priest. Practice, study, practice, learn, and discern how to live the life of a priest with balance, sanity, and dedication. Talk to your teacher about this and observe others. Observing and embodying the way of a priest is essential. Show up, then show up again, and show up again, and show up again. Be willing to stand in the background. Do the grunt work, the things that others may not want to do to support the temple, the Sangha, and the lineage. Stay alert to what is needed and do it without intruding on someone else's duties. Do not criticize others. Stay humble. If you have a problem with your teacher, tell them. If you need someone to vent to about something, pretty much guaranteed, do that. But pick the person carefully. They should be a good listener, kind and supportive, and also mature and fully able to keep a clear-eyed, balanced view of their own. And also hold what is confidential, confidential. Know that empathy and effective support from them does not equal uncritical agreement. Do not cause factions or disharmony in the Sangha. However, if there is ever a question of the teacher breaking the precepts, speak up. If you find you do not want to live your life as a priest, say so. There is no shame in this. You should live a practice that allows you to flourish and support the Dharma in this Saha world. And always remember, there are innumerable ways to do that with maturity and generosity. So these are the guidelines for formation and training. Just not much more. These guidelines are an outline for the formation training process of a novice priest. The intention of this list is to ensure that the person who desires to become a priest in the discernment phase has a good basic understanding of what will be asked of them as they enter Shuketokudo, the novice phase, and settle into priest formation and training. The ordaining teacher may adapt some parameters of requirements depending on the circumstances, but not to the degree that it will derail the process or goals of formation training itself. The key to formation and training as a Soto Zen priest is the willingness and the desire to become a priest and to learn and grow in the ways you can serve as a priest. You are stepping into a process that is meant to be transformative, a process that shapes you. It is not simply learning to do things. Meet with your teacher on a regular basis, every 2 to 4 weeks, to discuss your practice and what is needed in the Zendo, opportunities, etc. Follow the schedule completely, including classes, sittings, or other events. Talk to your teacher about any need to adapt this requirement. Come to know deeply how your own practice sustains you. Make it personal and discuss it with your teacher. If you identify as a man, keep your head and face shaved. If you identify as a woman after ordination, you can keep your hair short, traditionally under 2 fingers' widths. If you identify as gender fluid, discuss with your teacher how best to express your dedication to the path of training in this way. Dress plainly, don't wear jewelry, unless there's a specific reason for it. You don't need to wear a samurai all the time, although it's kind of nice to do. You'll learn a lot. When asked, identify yourself as a novice Soto Zen priest. Time to rest and see to your relationships and your own need for refreshment is essential for a sane life. During training, discuss this time away with your teacher and make agreements about it. Dedicate yourself to seeing to the needs of the temple. Take on the grunt work, stay humble, and be of service. Take care of the nuts and bolts of keeping Ocean Gate going. Pay attention to what is needed and do it. If you don't know how, learn. Ask questions. Learn the rituals, and then I list and how you practice jobs, doan, kokyo, making ofuda, all the behind-the-scenes work, when we do retreat practice again, hopefully soon, learning to be a server, how to be Tenzo, how to pay attention to a Zendo, what's needed, learn how to wear your robes, Kuromo, Jikitatsu, Kesa, Raksu, Zagu, how to conduct yourself in a robe, how to care for them, become at ease with them, learn Orioki well and how to teach it, study. It's a wellspring of inspiration and energy for a priest, and it never ends. It would be great if all of you who are interested in being a priest, could get a degree like my Jodo Shin students do at a Buddhist graduate school and seminary, but that's a long way off. The main thing is curiosity and a simple dedication to study is really, that's all that's required. Make connections between yourself and your study in this. This kind of guideline is the same for everybody. Monastic training is essential in the formation of a Soto Zen priest. So if at all possible, 2-3 month agos during the 5-year period is possible. When that's not possible, you and your teacher work out how that kind of training is going to take place at a site approved by your teacher. If you can, attend sesshins at the Berkeley Zen Center, and I outline some of this. Build relationships with other priests around the country. That's done in various ways. Be clear about the ethical basis of your life as a priest. Know yourself, your weaknesses, your strength, your capacity for humility, your edges, your frailties. Understand what it means to function in a community as a priest, how to hold that position, and how to set it down. Know how to draw boundaries with kindness and clarity. At the direction of your teacher, learn how to give Zazen instruction, how to give Dharma talks, homiletics, how to develop ministry skills like listening, how to be in the presence of strife and great suffering without being thrown. Consider the ways that you contribute to the wider community. Above all, communicate and be respectful to your teacher and trust in the transformative power of your training. And be at ease as a novice priest and a beginner.